You're listening to the News Project Podcasts for the week of January 4th, 2021, brought to you by GNAT TV. This podcast brings you these stories. The Taconic in Green grapples with potentially higher tax rates. This is an excerpt. To hear the entire discussion, go to GNAT.TV. And town meeting will sure look different.
Okay, let's go to the tax rate then.
All right, let's move to packet page 10. So I gave you a couple of examples of different iterations of the tax rate, just to sort of show you if we use reserves, what that might look like, or use anticipated surplus, I should say. And I've bulleted this down at the bottom of the page, but I'll just sort of walk through what the bullets are for you. So obviously column B is this year's tax rate. Those are the numbers from this year. Column B is basically to show you what the tax rate would look like if we didn't use any anticipated surplus. So we didn't have any money available to help support at the education spending number. And it was just a flat voted budget, local revenues, the new property yield, and an estimated equalized pupils figures. What does that look like? And so that's an 8-cent increase on your equalized tax rate. All right. What we've proposed in the draft that you've seen is what you see in column D, and that is using $764,000 surplus to reduce education spending, which drops the tax rate down to 3.9 cents. All right, so 4.1% decrease. That 764 comes from last year's, how we ended the year, right? We ended the year with a big surplus. Last year, we asked the voters to transfer the anticipated surplus of $509,000, I think it was, to the tax stabilization reserve, which we've done. And we're recommending that we use the balance of that surplus that wasn't originally presented to the voters to transfer and go ahead and reduce the tax rate. It's a lot of money when you look at it, but it's only 4 cents. So it cuts that tax rate increase in half, which is fantastic. But you'll see as we move further, we're still gonna see some significant tax rate increases. Column E, I created just to show you what would it look like, what would we need to take out of anticipated surplus to reduce the tax rate if we were just going to go up by 2 cents, meaning that 2 cents that we have no choice in because that's that Act 46 incentive change, right? We had a incentive decrease of 4 cents last year. We're in year four, the final year of our incentive. So we have a 2 cent variance. It's basically a 2 cent increase in our tax rate when all is said and done. And that would be an additional $346,000. And that could come out of our anticipated surplus from this year, because we do still intend to see a surplus at the end of this year. And it would still leave us with about, I don't know, around $55,000 of anticipated surplus if everything stayed as it's presented right now. So that's an option to consider. It's not the one that we're recommending on the table right now. As we talked about with the return of surplus from the BRSU, any use of surplus, if all things being equal next year, you're going to see an increase because that surplus is no longer available to use. Now, we do have that $500,000 set aside in tax stabilization. It was voted. It's there. We're not intending to touch it right now with this presentation, but of course, that's on the table as well. So I just want to move on to packet page 11 before we talk about that any further, and show you what this looks like on a town-by-town basis, because this is the part that gets difficult, right? We know what an equalized tax rate is. We can compare it from year to year. It's a number. It's easy to work with and show a variance. But now when we go town-by-town, we're throwing common level of appraisal into the mix, and that changes things for everybody, because most of the towns are seeing their common level of appraisal go down, which means your tax rates are going to go up. So we have a variance in the towns that are seeing their common level of appraisal go down. Their tax rate is going up, even though we are showing a 3.9 cent increase in the equalized property tax. The actual property tax rate will go up between 5 and 11 cents. So it's substantial in some towns. And that is because you have a common level appraisal going from, in, for example, in Dorset, 108% down to 103%. And that is automatically going to raise that tax rate up quite a bit. So it's a lot of explaining we're going to have to do to taxpayers and hope that they are paying attention and can see that our voted budget is going down, right? But our tax rates are going up. And so we'll do our best presentation-wise to explain that in all the FAQs like we usually do, but it's going to be one of those get the word out things, I think. So questions? I want to point out one other thing on the tax rate calculation. The equalized pupils is still an estimate. So right now, you know that your ADM was kept level at last year's numbers. We don't have final, we don't have poverty numbers. We don't have the state place counts in the system from the state yet. We don't have the final factor, and that final factor is what we're really looking for. State hasn't given us any of this data. They're still working on it, even though it was due on the 15th of December. So I'm hoping that 1723 is, we're not going to see it go down further.
I think it makes most sense to follow column D. Column E, while it might reduce the tax rate a little bit, does tap into, in a material way from my perspective, the possibility of surplus, and that won't be available in 2023. So I'm in favor of D. And I think that's about the best we can do, and it's an appropriate use in this year of a way to use the surplus to minimize the tax increase.
Jim?
Yeah, actually I had one question. Since there's the ADM freeze for this year from the legislature, are they going to be calculating equalized pupils using the ADM freeze?
Yes, and that's what this number is based on.
Okay. Also, just to kind of say, I agree with Dick, basically, on that point.
John, and then Deb.
Can you explain a little bit more? Can you just remind us about the ADM freeze? And also, what do we, for equalized pupils for 9 through 12, has there been a net gain there, do you expect?
So in talking about this year, right, equalized pupils 2-year ADM average. And so this year, our ADM count was down. It was less than last year's ADM. And I, to be honest, would have predicted it would have been down anyway, but certainly not down as significantly as it was. Mm-hmm. A lot of that due to homeschooling. And I think in TNG we have a count of 59, I want to say, if I remember correctly from the list Les shared with me. So it's a big number, right? Much bigger than we've seen in the past. And so instead of using that ADM number that has dropped, we're held level at last year's ADM. So it's a 2-year average of last year's ADM.
Okay.
Now, high school.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, high school itself, has high school gone down? I would have to look to see if the specific 9 through 12 numbers ADM have gone down from last year. I want to say they have, but I could look at that for you. Obviously, they're held level in the calculation, and we don't get to separate that out, right? So, ADM is your final ADM is your ADM. So if our ADM number is 1700, then we're not going to go below 1700. They're not going to pick and choose by grade, right? So even though, even if our high school numbers alone might have been going up, that's not what they're using in the formula. They're
okay,
holding us level the last year.
Just anecdotally speaking, as a teacher at BBA, I've seen a lot of transfer students coming from out of state. And I know that, you know, it might not affect ADM much, but the equalized pupil being their high school, won't they be weighed more? And
yep, you know, yep, they are. You get a 0.13 on that.
Okay, so that could be advantageous to us potentially, right?
Well, it's already in the formula. So it's already in that 1723, right? All of that is calculated in.
Okay.
And so you have to remember what happens too at the end of the day. You know, we get a calculated number, which includes that 0.13 on all our high school kids. Mm-hmm. And then the entire number is brought down by, say, a 0.94, because we can't have, at the end of the day, we can't have more kids in the state in total than actually exist. So they bring us all down by that same factor to get us to the right number of kids that actually exist in the state. And that's really the biggest number that we're waiting on right now that will decide whether or not that 1723 goes up or down. And again, it relies on the entire state, right? This is a calculation that Brad at AOE is doing based on all of our data. For next year, my bigger concern is that, as you see in your budget, right, we see high school going down. And we are seeing that because of that smaller eighth grade class coming in and the 12th graders going out, which in turn could reduce our ADM numbers next year. And it's, you know, who knows what they'll do about ADM next year, but we can't be sure that they're going to hold it level again. There hasn't been any conversation about this continuing after 1 year.
But the gain from that, if we budgeted for 15 phantom students, then we'll run a surplus if there is, in fact, there's a decrease?
If they didn't show, right? If they didn't show, we would still have that money in our budget. But with respect to counting, you're counting actual kids, so it wouldn't matter what we budget for with respect to the count. Mm-hmm. But yes, with respect to surplus, if we budget for those 15 kids and they don't come, then that money's still sitting there for us to use on other things. Mm-hmm. If we don't budget for them, then we have the potential of running a deficit.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
That's about a penny and a half. It's about 1.5 cents on the tax rate, those extra 15 kids.
Last night at BRSU, we talked about explaining to the voters that whole decision about how much of the surplus we use this year and how much we reserve, just because how it will affect next year, even just this ADM count. We don't know what's coming next year.
Right.
Voters at one point might wonder why we don't just return all of our surplus.
Yes.
But there are good reasons why not to. And it's just weighing the risks and the advantages 1 year against the next. And
yep.
Maybe that would be a good thing to explain in our FAQs.
Yep. Thanks, Doug.
Town meeting. It's grassroots democracy at its finest, its supporters say, and burned deeply into the political DNA of Vermont, one of the few states left where town and school district officials and the people and taxpayers they represent and work for come face to face in front of the whole community and questions get answers. But this year, like everything else, town meeting in its traditional setting, a floor meeting at the town hall or some other public location, has been upended by the COVID-19 pandemic. State officials have already passed legislation, Act 162, which allows a legislative body like a school district or a municipality to use Australian balloting for any annual or special town meeting in 2021. All the items that voters would normally have approved, or not, through a show of hands from the floor, may have to be done by a paper ballot. Towns have flexibility in how they want to do this, and the legislature is planning other measures to help local officials navigate through the process, said Representative John Gannon of Wilmington, who serves as the vice chairman of the Government Operations Committee.
One of the things about the legislation we passed last session and that we hope to pass this session is, you know, we're not trying to tie anybody's hands as to what they can do or not do, but we want to give them options. So, for example, last session we passed a bill that allows select boards by December 30th of this year to determine whether to hold town meeting by Australian ballot. That's a choice of the select board. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to. So that's already passed. Some towns, including the town I live in, Wilmington, have already made that decision to move to Australian ballot. Obviously, the benefit there is not bringing people together during the pandemic and, you know, hopefully protecting people. What we have been working on in the House and in Senate Government Operations is a new bill, which would authorize municipalities to move the date of their 2021 annual meeting to hopefully a time where people are vaccinated, or the pandemic has decreased a lot, or finally
you can hold a meeting outside and allow for social distancing. The other option that we are giving municipalities is the ability to mail out annual meeting Australian ballots. And tied to that is we've heard from the administration that they will be seeking money for towns to actually mail out ballots during the budget adjustment process that will start in January. And finally, you know, we're authorizing the Secretary of State to order, you know, to do anything supplemental for election procedures to make sure that town meeting 2021 goes as smoothly as possible. If they choose to move to Australian ballot, what would happen is that they could hold a virtual informational meeting. So, you know, and, you know, that typically happens, municipalities or school districts are already operating by Australian ballot. They'll have an informational meeting. You know, people can look at the warning and the articles, ask questions about the various articles to either the school board or the select board, and hopefully get answers before they actually have to vote by Australian ballot. So that can be done virtually. And, you know, or if you're just, you know, interested in a question, you obviously can call up a select board member or a school board member and just ask.
It's likely that Manchester will opt for an Australian ballot vote on the town budget and other line items, as well as voting for candidates for public office. John O'Keefe, Manchester's town manager, gave us the rundown on their thinking in a recent conversation.
The board at the last meeting said that they were leaning very strongly towards an Australian ballot town meeting. We did discuss other options. One of them was to actually meet in the grandstand of Applejack. But again, the early March, you know, you could have a day when it was 60 degrees that time of year, or you could have a day when it's negative 30. Traditionally, it's been, you know, the election of town officers, obviously. And then any appropriation over $2,500, bonded items, what else would usually go on there? Those are the big ones. So now, you know, there's going to Australian ballot is not a simple process. For example, on the town budget, which is voted on by the floor on Saturday, people can make changes to that. Now, you know, the only options would be yes or no. There's not a maybe box, obviously, and you can't write in anything. So
so would there be any way for a discussion of any of these items, like maybe on Zoom or some kind of platform where town officials could say, well, here's the town budget. We're spending X amount on this and Y amount on that, and here's why, and that's how we got to the bottom line. That sort of thing. There wouldn't be a vote, but you could at least have a way of explaining how the numbers got to be the way they were.
So we're looking actually at having an informational town meeting, maybe even more than a week out from town meeting, from the actual election, via Zoom. Obviously, it's not perfect, but we've got a sort of a backup plan for that. But we'd have an interactive meeting via Zoom, and then we would record that meeting and actually play it on GNAT. So even if you didn't have access to Zoom, some people don't, you could still go back and watch the material. Of course, you'll get your town report as well. But yeah, there would be an informational meeting where we actually go through all the different items.
For the broader statewide picture, we turn to Karen Horn, the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the Vermont League of Cities and Towns.
You will be able to have the informational meeting online on Zoom, and that is a select board meeting. It's convened by the select board and the school board, so it's subject to open meeting, and you can hold that meeting remotely according to the provisions that the legislature passed last year. The town meeting itself is a meeting of the citizens and the registered voters of the town. It's not a meeting of the select board, so it has different requirements. The legislature said before they left, as part of Act 162, that you could, the local legislative body, the select board, can vote to hold everything by Australian ballot. And they sort of left it there. So then what we felt like we really need is for towns to be able to mail Australian ballots to their registered voters, which is not something that the statute allows. You will also be able to change the date of your meeting. So you could move it from March all the way to May, for instance, under a provision that the legislature is proposing. So that will be very helpful for some towns, and Dummerston is one town that's considering doing that. We have a number of towns that are trying to finagle a way so that you could at least convene the town meeting in person and elect your moderator, for instance, in person, and then put everything else onto the Australian ballot. Some small towns are looking at that, how that might work for them. Kirby is one such town, Glover's another, that, you know, there are some towns that would really like to have the in-person aspect of town meeting and feel like if they give it up this year, that we might have lost your in-person democracy at the local levels for all time, because it will be just easier in the future to do Australian ballots for everything. And then you don't have the conversation on the floor.
Vaccines for COVID-19 may be on their way, but it will still be a while before things return to normal. Figuring out a pathway through town meeting which respects that tradition and enables local governments to get voters to weigh in and sign off on various proposals that are generally decided in early March will simply be one more adjustment added to all the others that have come along since last March. For the GNet TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.com.